How did you happen to get in here?
I ran here. You scared the daylights out of me last night.
Seems like the truth shouldn't scare anybody, man or boy.
Thing getting you?
No. I'm just thinking about public reaction to all this.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to When It Was Cool Dark, brought to you by the When It Was Cool Podcasting Network, located at, you probably guessed it, whenitwascool.com. That is our home spot on the internet, and we hope you will check us out there. We have many shows on our podcasting network, dealing with retro pop culture and much, much more. I think you'll find something you will find interesting there. So check us out, whenitwascool.com. This is a continuation of our series called 100 of the Darkest Moments in Pop Culture History. And I have to say, we have talked about a lot of tragedies, a lot of deaths, a lot of scandals and things of that nature, and this one may be the most despicable of all of them. You can be the judge. This is number 75, so we're now officially three-fourths of the way through with this series. Yes, I know it's been going a while, and people have criticized this series for at times being, you know, a little heavy on deaths and depressing in a way, and I understand that, and I've tried to work in, like last week we talked about the sports card bust, the trading card bust. So while that was certainly a dark moment in pop culture history, it was a little bit of a, you know, not so, no loss of human life involved, nor is today's show. However, this is one of the dirtiest scandals I think you'll ever hear about. I was absolutely floored when I began reading about it. We're going back to the year 2000, and what we're going to be talking about is a very well-known international sporting event. We're all familiar with the Olympics and you know, the World Games and things like that, where all over the world athletes get together representing their various countries to compete in athletics, and these are the best of the best, the top of the top, the greatest athletes in the world. There is, you know, heavy scrutiny on these athletes in terms of drug testing, and they have to really, you know, really be focused on these games. Like, honest to goodness, an Olympian, literally their life is devoted to making the Olympics. It is a very, very difficult thing to do. Well, there is another group of games that is a little, you know, it's certainly a feel-good thing, or should be, but it's also a very competitive event full of very good athletes, and it's the Paralympic Games. And so the Paralympic Games are, you know, one of the most well-known sporting events on Earth. And this involves various athletes with assorted disabilities. They range in what their disabilities are, but they all find a sport that they are very good at and compete in that sport for medals and fame and glory. So whenever someone cheats in these games, it's maybe a bridge too far, as they say. And that happened back in the year 2000. We're going to talk about the Spanish basketball team. And let's just get into it. Speaking of bridges, thebridge.in did a really good write-up on this. This is from last year. This is from August 2021. So it's kind of a follow-up. It's probably the most recent information you'll find on this, looking backwards at it. So let's talk about it. The Paralympics is one of the most famous sporting extravaganzas on Earth. not just because it is meant for sports persons who are physically challenged, but because it caters to several types of physical disabilities which come under 20 or more different types of sports. However, there are times when this can be surpassed in a bid to win a medal and compete with an unfair advantage. One such scandal that rocked the Paralympics was when the Spanish basketball team faked an intellectual disability to win the gold medal at the 2000 Sydney Paralympics. The scandal came to light when a member of the team named Carlos Ribergoda broke the information to a certain news channel that most of the team was not intellectually disabled. They were competing in the basketball event of the Paralympics while having no mental or physical problems. Ironically, this was the biggest violation of the Paralympics, but it had gone unnoticed and no testing was done on the Spanish basketball team. He also said that certain sports persons in swimming and table tennis actually had no handicap at all. The number was 15 out of the total 200 who had represented Spain in Sydney in the year 2000. Spanish news house Marca had published a picture of the players celebrating on the court, and it was this picture that led friends and relatives of the winning team to recognize those who had faked their disability. The basketball team only had two players with tested IQs below 70. The other players managed to evade authorities with fake certificates that showed them with low IQs and mental disabilities. It was even reported that the coach had told the team during a quarter break to tone down their game as they were leading by a big margin and could be discovered as faking their disability. This is as terrible as it gets, right? I mean, this is just moral depravity at a level that we've seldom seen. After the story came to light, the Spanish head of the Federation for the Mentally Handicapped Sports, Fernando Vicente, came under the scanner for his involvement. He subsequently resigned, but not before facing the wrath of several world and national sporting bodies. He was found guilty in 2013 by a Spanish court for fraud in faking the participation of the mentally abled players at the Paralympics. The fine was 5,400 euros for him and a total of 140,000 euros for the Federation. The players were punished with an order to return the medals and were banned from future competitions. The repercussions was that the category of intellectually disabled would be removed from all future Paralympic events. And so punish all, you know, all mentally disabled people, right? Anyway, it was truly an action that damaged the entire spirit of the Paralympics that had worked to eradicate any form of undue advantage and stigma associated with para sports. Can you even believe such a thing happened? Yahoo Sports did a coverage of this last year, also a look back at it. The Olympic scandals, the revolting Spanish sham at the 2000 Sydney Paralympic Games. While the long history of the modern Olympic Games is peppered with all kinds of cheating scandals, the Paralympic Games, established in 1960 and reserved for athletes with disabilities, has also not been able to escape attempts at fraud. The most famous and revolting of them undoubtedly occurred during the Sydney Games in 2000. In addition to traditional wheelchair basketball, the Paralympic Games in 2000 hosted another basketball tournament, reserved for the mentally disabled. According to the site source, the Paralympic Committee had set an intellectual quotient IQ threshold of 70 to be considered mentally disabled and eligible to participate in the competition. The first Paralympic men's basketball tournament for those with intellectual disabilities took place in Sydney in October of 2000 and was marked by the impressive performance of the Spanish team. Victorious in all its matches by at least 15 points, the Spanish team surprised all observers, even crushing the Russian favorites in the final, 87-63. They blew everyone off the court, recalls Bradley Lee, a member of the Australian team in this tournament, quoted by ABC News. "I suspected it, but I didn't voice it," it was a totally different team from the others. We had our concerns that there may be something going on, but we couldn't put our finger on it. The mystery was finally solved in the following weeks. The day after the victory, the Paralympic champions had the honor of appearing in Marca, one of the main Spanish sports dailies, with gold medals hanging from their necks. Following the publication, the newspaper's editorial staff received several messages from readers claiming that they recognized some of the players and that they, in fact, had no disabilities. The deception was finally exposed with a bang in November of 2000 when one of the players from the victorious team in Sydney, with the aforementioned Carlos Ribagorda, spoke publicly. He revealed he was a journalist for the financial newspaper Capital and joined the team in 1999 and did not suffer from any intellectual disability. Worse yet, the journalist confirmed on the same occasion that a total of 10 players out of the 12 on the Spanish team had faked a mental handicap to participate in competition. According to him, this shameless cheating had been because exams were not very rigorous. As reported by the Huffington Post, Ribagorda noted that, quote, in terms of a medical exam, he only had to have his blood pressure taken after doing 6 push-ups. During the entire Paralympic journey, most of the Spanish players pretended to have an intellectual disability. This ubiquitous situation led to some awkward moments. In the second half of our first game, we easily scored 30 points, said Ribagorda, as quoted by the Huffington Post. The coach then told us, half laughing and half serious, to lower our feet a little because it would show. Going even further into his accusations, Ribagorda also confirmed that at least 5 other athletes from the Spanish delegation, as well as several athletes of different nationalities who took part in the Paralympic Games in Sydney, in reality, had no mental or physical handicap. These revelations could not go unanswered, and the Spanish Paralympic Committee quickly opened an investigation with overwhelming conclusions. 10 of the 12 gold medalists had an IQ above 70. As a result, the gold medals were returned, and those responsible for the scandal were brought to justice. Finally, in 2013, the verdict was announced. It took 13 years to get a verdict in that. How is that even remotely possible? I mean, this seems pretty clear-cut. But anyway, in 2013, the verdict was finally announced. Of the 19 defendants, 18 got away with an acquittal. While Fernando Martin Vicente, president of the Spanish Sports Federation for the Mentally Disabled at the time of the events, was sentenced to a fine of 5,400 euros for fraud and lies. But above all, he would have to repay the 142,355 euros in subsidies paid by the Spanish state to Paralympic athletes for the Sydney Games. While taking responsibility for the cheating, the president of FEDI also maintained during his trial that he had only exploited a regulatory loophole. If someone wants to cheat, it's hard to detect. It's easy to pretend you have a low intelligence, he said. This was a point of view visibly shared by the International Paralympic Committee, which, following the scandal, purely and simply prohibited mentally disabled people from participating in the games. Yeah, it was too easy for dirty cheaters to act mentally disabled, and so this is just ridiculous. The Yahoo Sports article continues, this was a decision with devastating consequences for the main stakeholders, the athletes who really suffer from a mental handicap. I had many of our top-level athletes ringing, saying, I didn't cheat, I don't understand, explains Robin Smith of the Sports Inclusion Australia. That was heartbreaking, to go from being heroes to then being kicked out of the movement. Ultimately, it was not until the Paralympic Games in London in 2012 that the IPC, convinced by the evolution of methods for detecting mental disabilities, reinstated athletes with intellectual disabilities. You know, this reminds me of an old stand-up comedy line. You know, there's a reason why shaving cream cans say do not eat, because some idiot has eaten it in the past. You should not have to go to the Paralympic Games, the Paralympic Games for the love of all that's good and be worried about people faking intellectual. These are just, you know, I often get scolded by those who are, you know, do-gooders and such by saying, you have such a low view of humanity. That's because there are evil people out there in humanity literally faking mental disabilities to win gold. Like, what were they going to do? Were they going to show this to their friends and say, hey, look what I won, a gold medal. Hey, Bob, where'd you win that gold medal at? You must be a great athlete. Well, I faked a mental disability and won it to the Paralympic Games. Like, what was the end game here? Was there money involved? Obviously, there was subsidies that had to be paid back. I guess somebody lined their pocket with it. Isn't that what it always boils down to anyway, is money in the pocket? Well, when we come back after our break, because we need a break here, let's all breathe, and come back, and we'll look a little bit more about some of the details in this as we examine one of the 100 darkest moments in history, and I dare somebody to argue with me about this one, the 2000 Olympic scandal for the Paralympic Spanish basketball team. We'll be right back after this.
We depend on Patreon support for our website and podcast network. In order to continue these podcasts you enjoy, we need you to visit whenitwascool.com and pledge at least $1. You'll gain access to lots of exclusive podcasts, newsletters, and more. Sign up is quick, simple, and can be canceled at any time. whenitwascool.com and click any Patreon link. Thank you.
Here's a soundbite from the When It Was Cool podcast from whenitwascool.com.
This movie never lets up for me. I like it through the whole thing. It's always kept my attention. Even though I've seen it a million times now, I just watch it, you know, nonstop. I don't know. I don't really have a favorite part in it. I like the whole movie overall.
I agree. It doesn't really drag at all. Like the whole thing is just goes through Forrest Gump's entire life, which takes place in the 50s and 1960s and 1970s. Hits so many. Like, he is, when you say somebody Forrest Gumps their way through things, that means they're just in the right place at the right time through just sheer dumb luck. You can get more from this podcast and many others by going to whenitwascool.com. And remember, support us on Patreon. Welcome back to the second half of the show. If you're angry like I am, let's look at, I asked the question, what was in it for people to do this? I mean, what would, you know, not to mention just the hubris of thinking, oh, I'm not going to get found out here. They're going to put my, you know, I'm going to be on television in one of the most, you know, highly broadcast events in the world. I'm going to be in the newspaper. They're going to take my picture. This should be easy to keep quiet, right? So what was in it for people to risk the absolute, you know, humiliation of being found out that they were faking disabilities to compete in the Paralympic Games? Part of me wishes this story had the happy ending of they just get drummed and just the crap beat out of them in the finals by some actually mentally disabled team, just beats them like 100-0. Would have been great, but unfortunately that's not what happened. In a article from a Australian website called Mamma Mia, we get a little bit of insight into what maybe some of them were thinking, and yeah, it's just about as bad as what you might suspect. This, again, I think this comes from the Ribagorda, who, you know, turned narc on him, said, I think people saw it as a free trip to Australia. There was even some pride at wearing the Spanish team stripe. Ribagorda says he was invited to compete with the basketball team just months prior to the Paralympics, despite being an able-bodied man. He also shared that, as we talked about, he was only required to take a blood pressure test. He says there were 5 months of training with not a single disabled person in sight. The two genuinely disabled players came from outside Madrid. And that was one question I had was, you know, out of the 12, 10 were, so that implied, of course, that two on the team were actually legitimately mentally disabled, and apparently they, you know, found two somewhere, weren't even from Madrid, Spain, to compete in this. When the team won the gold and their photos were splashed on the front pages of the newspaper at home, here's where it gets out of the box, right? Like I said, they didn't think this happens a lot of times in crime, true crime stuff. You probably, many of you listen to some sort of true crime podcast or documentaries. Notice this. Most of the people committing these crimes never think about it past the commission of the crime. Okay, in their minds, they never consider what happens next. I rob a bank. Well, they got you on video. Somebody saw you. You know, got stopped on the way there back. So somebody there knew you. They never, ever consider these possibilities. No matter how elaborate their plan only seems to take place up to the point in time they accomplish whatever they're going to accomplish, robbery or whatever, in this case, scandal, this case, fakery. So they had no plan upon, you know, things that should have been obvious. Oh, after the fact, they're going to put her picture in the paper and make a big deal out of winning a gold medal. You know, obviously it's a feel-good story. They're going to put them on news and everything else. So when the team won the gold medal and their photos were splashed on the front pages of the newspaper at home, people who knew the players began to recognize them and realize they were people who did not have learning difficulties. When arriving home, Ribagorda recalled the entire team being asked to disguise themselves by growing beards and wearing sunglasses and hats. Yeah, at this point in time, they're in cover-up mode. Boy, we didn't think this clearly all the way through. But what officials failed to realize was that an undercover journalist, that's Ribagorda, of course, was among them the whole time, ready to blow the whistle, and he did. 2 months after winning the gold, the entire team was forced to return their medals, plus the International Paralympic Committee decided to temporarily remove all events from the games for athletes with intellectual disabilities, which we've talked about that and how unfair that was, as a matter of fact. And there is apparently a new book out, at least of new as of last year, Titus O'Reilly's book called Cheat, where you can read more about that as well. There was some punishment that took place in 2013, which we talked a little bit about it. Fernando Vicente had to pay the money back. This was covered by the DailyMail.uk, which we've used this source several times here. On this, they cover a lot of scandals and stuff. I'm sure if you're from the United Kingdom, you're familiar with the Daily Mail and what they're all about. Well, in 2013, Simon Tomlinson published an article called Man That Led Shameful Spanish Basketball Team Who Pretended to Be Disabled to Win Paralympic Gold Found Guilty of Fraud. A former Spanish basketball boss has been found guilty of fraud 13 years after he presided over one of the biggest scandals in sporting history. Fernando Martin Vicente, the former head of the Spanish Federation for Mentally Handicapped Sports, fielded athletes with no disabilities at the 2000 Paralympics in Sydney in order to win the gold medal. Then it goes into the details about the Madrid court and the fines, which we've talked about. Now, how did he become the only person really, and nobody spent a day in jail for this, obviously. That would have probably... I don't even know what crime you would have been committing. There's probably nothing on the book for, I don't know, who was sitting around thinking, hey, we need a law on the books for people who fake mental disabilities to wear gold medals at Special Olympic Games, right? You know, not something the general correct thinking person sits around and studies upon. The Daily Mail continues, the scandal broke in November of 2000 when Carlos Ribagorda, member of the Spain national gold medal winning team, intellectually handicapped basketball team in Sydney, claimed that he and other athletes were not mentally deficient. Of the 200 Spanish athletes at Sydney, at least 15 had no type of mental or physical handicap. Ribagorta said he had played for the Spanish Paralympic basketball team for over 2 years, but had no mental handicap. Well, that guy kind of goes against what he himself had told a different news source, that he only come up, you know, on the team very recently to when they went to Australia. The final team did comprise, did have two players with IQs below 70 as required, but the other 10 were posing as mentally disabled players. And I noticed in none of these articles and stuff, they don't name any of these people, and they, quite frankly, they should have been. They should have been barred from all sorts. I'm sure the names are known, but I noticed the press isn't really covering any of these people, and goodness gracious, if there's names that need splashed in the news, it's these folks. Martin Vicente resigned as the head of the Spanish Federation for Mentally Handicapped Sports, which was responsible for screening some participants in the Paralympics in Sydney shortly after the Capital article was published, saying he accepted total responsibility. They were forced to return their medals, and the category of intellectually disabled was removed, as we discussed. He had argued that psychological evaluations of mentally deficient athletes was difficult and that mistakes had been made. If someone wants to cheat, he said, it's difficult to detect. It's easy to pretend you have little intelligence, but the opposite is difficult. 18 other people, including members of the basketball team that went to Sydney and managers of the Spanish Federation for Mentally Handicapped Sports, were also charged over the affair, but the court on Monday dropped the charges. Spain had their most successful Paralympics in Sydney, winning 107 medals to finish third in the medals table after Australia and Britain. Seems like they found a fall guy. Isn't that what it sounds like? Sounds like the others turned the state's evidence, as we would say here in the United States, maybe to give testimony against this Vicente character. In my opinion, that shouldn't have been done. There was little to no repercussions for this, quite frankly. The Wikipedia does actually have an article on this. Actually, it's under cheating in sports. They have a section, a very short section. It says basketball controversy, intellectual disability. Is very short, and I don't know if it's got any new information there, but let's look through it. It says the 2000 Summer Paralympics in Sydney, which had already seen controversy with numerous positive drug tests. Okay, so apparently there was also doping involved. The dirty 2000 Summer Paralympics in Sydney. Not only do we have intellectual cheating, but we have apparently doping as well. Numerous positive drug tests, it said. It would be the venue for one of the most scandalous events in the sport's history. Spain was stripped of their intellectual disability basketball gold medal shortly after the games closed, after Carlos Ribagorta, a member of the victorious team and an undercover journalist, revealed to the Spanish business magazine Capital that most of his colleagues had not undergone medical tests to ensure they had a disability. The IPC investigated the claims and found that the required mental test, which should show that the competitors have an IQ of no more than 75, here says Wikipedia 70, says all the other sources we've used. They use as their sources Carlos Ribagorta himself, apparently, and a CNN Sports Illustrated, so there's a discrepancy there. Says that those tests, regardless of what the number was not conducted by the Spanish Paralympic Committee. Ribagorta alleged that some Spanish participants in the table tennis, track and field, and swimming events also were not disabled, meaning that 5 medals were won fraudulently. He went on to say that the Spanish Federation of Sports People with Intellectual Disabilities deliberately chose to sign up athletes who were not intellectually disabled to win medals and gain more sponsorship. So there in our Wikipedia article, I think we finally discover the truth of the reason why the scandal took place. Money, sponsorships, of course, always the root of all evil, as the Bible says. Fernando Martin Vicente, president of the FEDI and vice president of CPE, initially denied the allegations. After it was confirmed that 10 of the 12 competitors in the winning team were not disabled, Martin Vicente publicly apologized for the error and accepted total responsibility. Well, it doesn't sound like it. Resigning just before the findings were officially released. 2 weeks later, the team was officially disqualified and was ordered to return the gold medals. And the Wikipedia article also goes on to talk about the IPC's reaction in banning those with learning disabilities, which was really a poor choice on their part. Following an anti-corruption drive, the International Sports Federation for Persons with Intellectual Disabilities lobbied to have these athletes reinstated, talking about those with learning disabilities. Beginning in 2004, athletes with an intellectual disability began to be reintegrated into Paralympic sports competitions. The IPC stated that it would reevaluate their participations following the Beijing 2008 Paralympic Games. In November of 2009, the ban was lifted, and the IPC introduced a series of sports intelligence tests to confirm claimed disabilities. The first IPC-run event where intellectual disabled athletes were allowed to compete again was the 2009 IPC Swimming European Championships. And so this is as good place as any to end it, because this is about as happy as this story gets, is that those with intellectual disabilities get their right to compete at these Paralympic Games back, because cheaters once showed up and ruined the good sports fun and competition for everybody. It is an absolute atrocity of a story. It is an absolute shame that more wasn't done to punish those involved. Apparently nothing of any magnitude happened to those competing on the team and faking it. They found one fall guy to pay some money back, and really the only people that truly got punished in this whole thing were those who were intellectually disabled for a number of years, not being able to compete in the Paralympic Games. Just absolutely just a angering story. And I think rightfully taking its place amongst our 100 darkest moments in pop culture history. If you have found this series interesting, we still have 25 more to go. You can hear all of those by going to our website, whenitwascool.com, checking out the When It Was Cool Dark, previously known as Dragon King Dark page, and you can hear all those podcasts there. Of course, we're available on Apple, iTunes, Spotify, Amazon, anywhere you would expect a major podcast to be, we are there, and we hope you'll subscribe to it. Now, could I ask you a quick call for action as I wrap up this show? Go to your favorite podcast app, wherever you get your podcast from. Most people, that's Apple Podcast or iTunes. Many of you now use Spotify and Amazon. I understand that. Go to any of those and just type in the words, When It Was Cool. So what that's going to do, that is going to actually bring you up three podcasts. It's going to bring you up the When It Was Cool Retro Pop Culture Podcast, When It Was Cool Wrestling, and When It Was Cool Dark. And I hope you will take a second to subscribe to all three of those, because you may be missing out a lot on a lot of what we do at whenitwascool.com. That will get you all three of our free show feeds. Try saying that real fast. Our free show feeds. And you may discover some stuff you didn't even know we did at whenitwascool.com. So check those out, and hey, if you like the shows, leave us a review. That helps us with our rankings on those platforms as well. And in the meantime, you are hearing this at whenitwascool.com, figure4online.com, Dark Matter Digital Network, and any major podcasting platform, and we really appreciate it. Check out our Patreon page, where we have about 2,000 shows waiting in our archive for you to check out. Maybe give that as a gift to someone for Christmas, a subscription, a Patreon subscription. You can buy it for a whole year if you wish at whenitwascool.com, and you're the podcast listener in your life will surely thank you for it. Thank you very much for listening, and we'll see you here again soon with a new show.
When It Was Cool is your home for retro pop culture fun. We feature hundreds of podcasts on classic TV shows, movies, retro sports, toys, history, music, wrestling, and more. Tons of free podcasts. And hit any Patreon button for a deeper dive into our premium shows. WhenItWasCool.com. Fun and friendly.